All right, to follow up on the previous episode about organic and sustainable farming investments, this one is related to conservation investments, and just wanted to give you an example of what we're working on for this current client need. Her goal is to make a positive change with her money and invest in humanity, and doesn't want to feel bad about the investment or know that the investment is doing harm or not contributing to society or people or whatnot, or that it's contributing in a negative way. So we're looking to structure an investment that also, does all those positive things, eliminates negative things, but then also produces financial returns, but also tax benefits. So one thing we've been working on, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, is essentially conservation investments, and something we've done successfully in the triple net lease space is long-term sale leasebacks, or essentially build-to-suit developments, where that's very common in the commercial real estate industry, where you have a tenant or you have a building owner and you enter into a long-term lease with them paying a certain amount per year for 15 or 20 years on an absolute or triple net lease. And so basically what we're doing is working with land trusts around the country to structure conservation type investments. And I've used the example in the past of this $1 million conservation purchase our local land trust had just made. So the way the land trust traditionally does it is when they have a piece of land they want to acquire, they have to raise the money to purchase it from donations. And in this case, this was a popular mountain biking, hiking spot. Right at the entrance was being marketed for sale by a real estate broker and had offers from self-storage developer and gas station developers. And word got out that the entrance to the nice hiking recreation area, beautiful scenic area, was going to be turned into self-storage units or gas station, etc. And the community rallied, land trust raised $1 million to purchase the property, and now it's going to be in a conservation easement, and it's been preserved for the community. But in that case, they had to go out and raise the $1 million and then purchase it, and that was all donations. Our structure and what we're doing with the different land trusts all over the country is, instead of the land trust having to raise $1 million through donations, our investment fund, or clients can do this one-off as well. They can own the property themselves. They don't have to invest in our fund. They can if they want. But basically, we buy the property, or the client buys the property for the land trust. Land trust then leases the property back for 15 or 20 years. And we put in all those same protections that the land trust would have done, and then we vest it over time to manage risk. So we don't put the entire property in a conservation easement 100% day one. The land trust essentially becomes the tenant, and they lease it back, let's say, for 5% return a year. So in this case, the land trust would pay $50,000 a year on the $1 million investment where we bought the property. It's a triple net lease. Land trust manages the property. It achieves all the conservation type benefits and activities that the land trust was seeking up front. The land trust did not have to get donations to do that. For $1 million, they only in theory have to raise $50,000 a year over the term of the lease to achieve the same benefits. And they a lot of times could just fund that out of their general operating activities or their general fundraising activities. So I think the benefit for land trust are huge, and the community are huge, because it still achieves the benefits, but it doesn't have to equal these big fundraising initiatives and drives. They just have to raise small amounts of money each year to pay the lease, and they still get the benefits of what they were trying to do in the first place. And then our impact investors, people who have put money into the fund or who are buying the property themselves, get the financial rate of return. They get their positive impact that they were looking to do. And then there's also some tax benefits. And so investors looking to invest for conservation or for impact as impact investors, you can do it one, the normal way, just with after-tax money. You obviously come out of pocket for it, sell a property, pay your tax on it, and make the investment. Number two, we work with a lot of 1031 exchange investors, and in this particular case, this would be like-kind property held for investment. So these would qualify under the 1031 exchange guidelines. And so if you, in this case, you have a $2 million sale that you would otherwise owe $600,000 of taxes, you can make a $2 million investment, defer that $600,000 of taxes through a 1031 exchange, and get a 5 or 6% yield in the process, and keeping use of that $600,000 that otherwise would have gone to Uncle Sam. And number three, we have some that we're structuring as opportunity zone investments, and that's a probably a topic or specific conversation for another episode. But if you wanted to defer taxes, you could take advantage of these type of conservation in deals that are in opportunity zones, which are 8,500 census tracts around the country in certain designated census, or areas that under the new tax plan, where you can actually defer the capital gains tax for 6 years or 7 years now to 2026, reduce that capital gains tax by 15% over those 6 years. You only have to reinvest the actual capital gain amount. So in this case, you'd only have to invest the $600,000. And then you do have to make substantial improvements to the property. So in this case, we could do trails, visitor center, parking lot, stuff like that. So let's say that's $300,000. So for $900,000, you could get into the investment. Then you'd have the other $1.1 million from your $2 million to do other things with, or you could invest some of that into a sinking fund, let's say $425,000 into a U.S. Treasury for 6 years at 3% interest would be like $510,000, which would be that reduced amount of tax you would owe. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds here on the tax benefits of an opportunity zone investment, but that's another way to invest and defer taxes. And the main benefit there, people call that the golden goose, is at the end of the investment period, as long as you've held it for over 10 years, any capital appreciation of the property is tax-free. So in this case, with conservation easements or conservation properties, it's not as important because you're actually mainly investing for impact, two, investing for income, three, investing for conservation type easement tax benefits. But what we're looking at doing on properties and opportunity zones is carving out a portion of the property that would be left for upside with some kind of thematic or related green or impact investment property. So let's say you had 100 acres, you put 90 acres in the conservation type investment, you keep 10 acres and you develop that in a normal kind of commercial real estate or investment real estate fashion. And that allows you to take advantage of all the different tax, financial, economic benefits and incentives that are available. So if you want to invest for impact or conservation, green, sustainable type investing secured by real assets, real estate, real tangible property, get your tax benefits, get some income from it, then hit us up. We'd love to hear your comments, questions, interest, whatever. You can go to compound.global to get more info. You can go to compound.global/talk to call the listener hotline, or you can just call it right from your phone or text it to 970-300-1994. Again, 970-300-1994. This is Timo signing off. Hope you have a great day, and hopefully this resonates with you. If it doesn't, tell us why. If it does, we'd love to hear why as well. Peace.